You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Trans-Tasman relationships were on the downturn recently, with the Australian government deporting a 15-year-old teenager to New Zealand, the Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton describing deportation in a news report by Nine News as quote-unquote taking the trash out, and the network's crime reporter Jordan Fabris asking those being taken on deportation flights, quote, our country doesn't want you, are you excited to go home? And to another, quote, how does it feel to be kicked out of Australia? Regarding the issue around 501s or deportees, I spoke with Philippa Payne, the co-founder of advocacy group Route 501, about this. The Australian government recently deported a 15-year-old back to New Zealand as a 501 deportee. Is this the youngest case that you have heard?
It is the youngest case that we've heard of publicly. It's very distressing that a person that is not even of legal age to make a decision for themselves has now been out of publicly saying that he's been deported voluntarily. I do not believe that that is possible.
Right. Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton said on a Australian news report last week that deportations back to New Zealand is quote-unquote taking the trash out. What do you make of his comments?
Oh, I think that that's a reflection of Mr. Dutton himself. Mr. Dutton is the person that's actually in charge and oversees the Australian Immigration Detention Centres. His language just dictates exactly the kind of abuse that goes on inside those detention centres. They are horrible, horrible places.
What about, I can't come on to talk about the conditions that deportees face before they come back to New Zealand. So before they actually board the flight to come back here, what process do they go through?
Well, they're supposed to go through a medical clearance. Now, I can tell you that that happened with the last flight of people that just arrived in New Zealand, and they were walked into a room. A digital thermometer was taken and their temperature recorded, and that was it. No blood pressure, no questions, no talking to them, no asking them of any medical conditions, and they were cleared to arrive in New Zealand. One of those gentlemen, actually while in quarantine, was diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. So he should not have been on that flight in the first place.
Right. And what happens after they come back? Like, what does your advocacy group do? How does your advocacy group help deportees when they arrive back in New Zealand?
Well, I'm self-funded, and I go into the detention centres in Australia and meet with the people there, connect with them while they're in detention, and help, like, try my best to help and support them and their families. Because there's no counselling going on for these families. There's no support for any of the children. There's no support for wives or husbands that are left without partners, left without financial assistance because the partner has gone. And the overwhelming trauma that happens for the whole whānau is life-changing.
Okay. What sort of problems do they face while in New Zealand? Do they have? Are they struggling to find jobs or anything?
Well, upon arrival in New Zealand, we treat the men and women that arrive with our beliefs. Lack of dignity. We take their DNA, we take their fingerprints, and we also take a mugshot at the airport. That's before they even come into the public society. Then we have trouble housing them. We've got a huge housing crisis here in New Zealand. They're displaced for a start. Their sense of self-worth and self-belonging is at such a low that it's about letting them have a chance to breathe and reintegrate before we put pressure on them for employment. Before we put pressure on them that they should be meeting expectations, I believe the expectations should be on the New Zealand society to help these men.
What does the government need to do to help these returning deportees?
Well, be active would be a start. Stop just brushing over the problem and calling it deportation. First and foremost, New Zealand has to address the abuse and the trauma that takes place inside the detention centres. These guys are coming back with post-traumatic stress disorder to the highest extent. They left behind everything that they have in Australia, including their children, their parents, so they will not be able to see the majority of them to go to their funerals or have any sort of physical interaction with them. We need to go inside the detention centres, help the people that are inside the detention centres, work out what sort of services they're going to need and require in New Zealand when they get back here, and get them implemented for that person before they reach their shores. So that there is a care plan in place.
Going back on your advocacy group, now you said at the start of the interview that the 15-year-old being the teenager being deported back to New Zealand is the youngest case that you've heard of. In your advocacy group, what is the age average age of the deportees that you're helping?
I would say that the youngest that I've started with who's been placed in the immigration detention centre is 17 years old. In Australia, if you're in a correctional facility and you're about to reach the age of 18, they would do some transitioning work, and this boy was placed in a detention centre before his 18th birthday, and he's still in there. He is now 20 years old, and he's never been to New Zealand since the age of one, and he is now considering signing to agree to his removal to come to New Zealand because he can't last in the detention centre much longer.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.